The following Stealing the Mind Bible Conference presentation is by Kent Hovind and is entitled Lies in the Public School Textbooks. For a free catalog of all of our tapes and books, call Compass at 1-800-977-2177 or on the web at compass.org.
My name is Kent Hovind. I live in Pensacola, Florida. I've been there, 15 years. And this is not my wife. That's just a picture of her. Last July was our 30th anniversary, and we sat down and figured out how much money we have spent since we got married. We have spent all of it. We have three kids, one of each. I got them all married off, and the dog died. It's wonderful. I made it. I'm home free. Amen. And two grandkids, and one more coming, hopefully 30 more coming after that. So anyway, we have in our backyard Dinosaur Adventure Land. We are having a blast. I got sick and tired of all the science centers and museums around the country teaching evolution. I said, let's start a place that glorifies God. We had our second anniversary last week. We've already had 25,000 visitors to Dinosaur Adventure Land. What we want to do is use creation to glorify God. We have just about 40 people on our staff. We have an amazing ministry God's provided for us there. It's just incredible. Two of my secretaries are with me here on this, and we came up here to find him a husband. So help me out if you would, guys. They're out there at the table. I told them I'd put a little plug for them, you know. All right. If you want to come see our science center and museum, we're having a wonderful time. I want to talk about... public school teacher and retired from teaching public school. My brother right now, he led me to the Lord. He's in his 34th year teaching public school. I'm not against schools. I'm not against teachers. There are many good godly teachers in the system. But there are some lies in these textbooks. It's not the teachers I'm against. It's the lies I'm against. Now, if you have some evidence for evolution, then show me. But don't lie to the kids. Suppose I had a theory and I said, I believe the moon is made of green cheese. NASA proved it when they went there in 1973 on a secret mission. Well, now hold it. It's okay to have a stupid theory, right? You can have all the dumb theories you want. But it's not okay to lie about it, and it's worse to use tax dollars to get people to pay me while I lie about it. So if you got a theory that says you're an animal and you have a common heritage with earthworms, that's okay. That's a dumb theory, but you can have that theory if you'd like. But don't lie to the kids to support your theory. If you want to believe in evolution, that's perfectly fine with me. I don't care what you believe in. But I'm just sick and tired of them using lies to support their theory. I'll give you an example. They say they have evidence of this evolution process. What evidence do they have? They say the Earth is billions of years old. That's a lie. They say radioactive dating proves the Earth is billions of years old. That's a lie. Does not prove any such thing. Here's a living snail was carbon dated 27,000 years old. Still alive. This guy said in the last 2 years an absolute date was obtained for the Gandong beds. It has the very interesting age, a value of 300,000 years, plus or minus 300,000 years. They tell the kids the Earth is billions of years old, 4.6 billion years old. That's a lie. There's all kinds of ways to prove it is not billions of years old. They tell the kids the Earth cooled down from it was a hot molten mass and it slowly cooled down. That's a lie. The Bible says the Earth was formed under water. The Earth was never a hot molten mass. There's been a lot of research done on that with Robert Gentry's tremendous work with radio polonium halos. The Earth was never a hot molten mass. Textbooks are going to tell your kids things like Carlsbad Caverns took millions of years to form. Well, that's a lie. These things form very quickly. This stalagmite here is 100 years old, with me standing next to it. It does not take millions of years to form those things. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the Bible says, man brought death into the world. The reason we have death and suffering is because of man's sin. And yet Charles Darwin said in his book, thus from the war of nature, from famine and death, the most exalted object we're capable of conceiving, the production of higher animals follows. You know, evolution theory says death is how we get ahead. One animal evolves a little better than the rest of them have to die to make this process work. See, they don't talk about that much. They talk about survival of the fittest. What they don't tell you about is the death of the unfit. They go together, you know. Hitler followed that one, didn't he? Let's just speed up the process a little bit. See, the question is very simple. Did man bring death into the world, or did death bring man into the world? They are absolutely polar opposite philosophies. And these guys trying to blend, well, maybe God used evolution to get us here. I said, what kind of God do you have anyway? Is he dumb? Can't he do it right in 6 days? Is he cruel? Is he wasteful? It's not the God of the Bible, that's for sure. Textbook says we evolved from an ape-like creature 30 million years ago. Grandpa? Yeah, I don't think so. That's a lie. There's all kinds of evidence that man has always been. Man, apes have always been apes. This article says he's the daddy of us all. Well, that's silly. You don't know he's the daddy of anybody. If you find bones in the dirt, all you know is he died. They tell the kids dinosaurs lived millions of years ago. That's a lie. Dinosaurs have always lived with man. This textbook says the Colorado River cut through layer upon layer of rock over millions of years. Well, that's a lie. That's not true. You know, the center of the Grand Canyon area is higher than both ends of the canyon. The top of the ridge it cuts across is 4,000 feet higher than where the river enters the canyon. Rivers don't flow uphill. There's no way that river made that canyon. Grand Canyon's a washed-out spillway, folks. Used to be a huge lake behind there called Grand Lake. The lake is long gone. The kids are going to be told about the different layers of the earth, Cenozoic, Mesozoic, Paleozoic. There's no such thing. The whole geologic column is a lie. There is no geologic column. This textbook admits it. The guy says, if there were a column of sediments, unfortunately, no such column exists. There is no geologic column. There are layers of rock, but they're not a geologic column. They're putting their interpretation on them. All over the world, petrified trees are found standing up, running through these layers of rock. We got lots of pictures on our website. We just got a new full-color brochure in with about 30 pictures of petrified trees standing up, running through different layers of rock. They're not different ages. Kids are going to be told Devonian period is characterized by the lobe-finned fish 325 million years ago. This is the index fossil. That's a lie. There are no index fossils. The lobe-finned fish is still swimming around today in the Indian Ocean. And when they found the coelacanth, the scientists looked at it and said, wow, look at this. They survived for 325 million years. Never dawned on them one time to question their stupid geologic column. A thought never crossed their brain. They tell the kids, we have proof of evolution because we have similar forelimb structures. Look at this textbook. It says, these homologous structures provide evidence that these animals evolved from a common ancestor. Because you got two bones in your wrist and the whale has two bones in his flipper. This one says, comparative anatomy provides further evidence of evolution. The commonality suggests that these and other vertebrate animals are all related. They probably evolved from a common ancestor. That's a lie. They probably had a common designer. Maybe that's why they're similar, huh? Similar design might prove the same guy made them. Did you know the lug nuts from a Pontiac will fit on a Chevy? I'm not kidding. They will. Go try it. You see, that proves they both evolved from a Honda 14 million years ago. They tell the kids the peppered moth is proof for evolution. They say they had 95% light moss and only 5% black when the trees were light-colored. And then they burned coal in the factories and the trees turned black. And they counted the moths again and found it's only 5% light and 95% black. Well, the whole story's a lie. I have a picture there, guys. Okay. This story's a lie. Actually, they glued dead moths to a tree to take that picture for your kid's textbook. After 40 years of watching, they found two moths on the trees in 40 years. The whole thing's a lie. They tell the kids the embryo has gill slits. Look at this one. The presence of these fish-like structures in embryos of different species shows that these animals have evolved from fish and share the basic pattern of fish development. This one says the human embryo has gills like a fish. This one says similarities among vertebrate embryos suggest evolution from a common ancestor. The presence of gills and tails. There's a seventh grade junior high textbook. It says, similarities provide evidence that these animals evolved from a common ancestor. Similarly, humans and fish embryos resemble each other because humans and fish share a common ancestor. This is a lie. Those little folds of skin develop into bones in the ear and glands in the throat. They never have anything to do with breathing. They're not gill slits. I've seen people with five or six chins and they can't breathe through any of them but the top one, okay? Don't lie to the kids. Now, if you got evidence for your theory, then show it to me, but quit lying to them. Ernst Haeckel made up this whole stupid idea back in 1869. He made huge posters of all these animals with their gill slits. The whole thing's a lie. On top are his pictures that he drew. Underneath are actual photographs of what he claimed he's drawing a picture of. Now, either he's an extremely lousy artist or he is a deliberate liar. His own university tried him, and he was found guilty of fraud. But his pictures, proven fraudulent in 1874, are still in your textbooks today. 128 years later, they're still there. This textbook says the human appendix is vestigial. You don't need it anymore. That's a lie. You do need your appendix, okay? It's part of your immune system. Now, if your appendix is taken out, you can still live. I understand. Did you know you can live without both your eyes and both your arms and both your legs? It doesn't prove you don't need them. Duh. This one says the whale has a pelvis. Many organisms retain traces of their evolutionary history. For example, the whale retains pelvic and leg bones as useless vestiges. This one says the whale's pelvis and leg bones serve no purpose. They are evidence of the whale's evolution from four-legged land-dwelling mammals. Just imagine whales walking around. It's true. These are the bones they're talking about right there. Just imagine the whale walking around. I tried, you know. I just can't imagine. This one says, the whale's pelvis is evidence of its evolution from four-legged land-dwelling mammals. Sorry, folks. That is simply a lie. Those little bones are anchor points that muscles attach to that allow the whales to reproduce. Whales are pretty big, you know. And that has nothing to do with walking on land. It has to do with getting baby whales. We have in our museum a 15.5-foot python snake skin. Down near the south end of that snake skin, if you look real close, you'll see there are two claws. These claws are attached to little bones that go up inside the body of the snake, about 2.5 inches long, on a 15.5-foot python. This textbook says, the snake has rudimentary hind legs. Well, those little claws and those little bones are rudimentary hind legs? I'm sorry, that's a lie. Those little bones and those little claws are used in mating. The snake doesn't have any arms, you know, and he can't talk. He can't say, "Squid over, honey." This has nothing whatsoever to do with walking on land. Why do they put this in the textbook? This guy says, humans have a tailbone that has no apparent function, no apparent use. That's a lie. You got to have your tailbone, folks. There are 9 little muscles that attach to the tailbone, without which you cannot perform some very valuable functions. Oh, I won't tell you what they all are, but trust me, you need those, okay? Now listen, if you think the tailbone is vestigial, then I will pay to have yours removed. Bend over. This textbook says the coccyx, that's your tailbone, is a small bone at the end of the human vertebral column. It has no present function and is thought to be the remainder of bones that once occupied the long tail of a tree-living ancestor. They told me when I was a kid in school that man used to have a tail, but he lost it because he didn't need it. I thought, didn't need it. Have you ever thought how handy a tail would be? Have you ever come to the door with 2 sacks of groceries? Man, you could grab that door and open right up and walk right in there. Lost it because we didn't need it. Come on, are you kidding? Duh. This textbook says humans and birds and crocodiles have a common ancestor. That's a lie. Darwin said it's a wonderful fact that all animals and all plants throughout all time and space should be related to each other. This is silly, folks. It's a lie. There's no evidence any animal is related to a different kind of animal. You want to believe that? That's fine. But there's no evidence for that. Dogs have always been producing dogs. And when farmers plant corn, they expect corn to grow. And there's no exceptions to that. None. Now, if you want to believe it happened long ago and far away differently somehow, well, then you go ahead and believe whatever you want. But that's a religion, and I'd like you to keep your religion out of our schools, okay? If you have some scientific evidence for evolution, then show it to me, but quit lying to the kids. This one textbook says natural selection. Yeah. This textbook says natural selection causes evolution. That's a lie. Natural selection selects. It doesn't create a thing. All it does is select. It's not a creative process. This textbook says the horse used to have 4 toes and slowly evolved to the 1-toed horse. Eohippus to equus. That's a lie, proven wrong 50 years ago, still in textbooks today. This one says, swirling in the waters of the oceans is a bubbling broth of complex chemicals. Progress from a complex chemical soup to a living organism is very slow. We came from soup. That's a lie. This one says, all the many forms of life on Earth today are descended from a common ancestor found in a population of primitive unicellular organisms. That's a lie, folks. We didn't come from a unicellular organism, and unicellular organisms are not primitive. One little paramecium is more complex than the space shuttle, and you can put millions of those in a drop of water. They're not simple because they're small. A great book about this, the complexity of small things, done by Michael Behe, his book Darwin's Black Box. He spends a whole chapter talking about the hair on the bacteria. Bacteria are pretty tiny. They have a hair that's their little motor that runs around where they swim around. That little hair is so tiny that 8 million of them would fit in the cross-section of a human hair. Cut one hair off and make a stump out of it. You can put 8 million of these motors on that stump. And yet they turn 100,000 RPM. Forwards or backwards. Not simple, okay? This textbook says the complex structure of the human eye may be the product of millions of years of evolution. That's a lie. Darwin knew the eye caused serious problems for his theory. He said, to suppose that the eye could have been formed by natural selection seems, I freely confess, absurd. Eyeballs are complicated. The back of your eyeball is about 1 square inch, and yet it has 137 million light-sensitive cells all wired to the brain. How many of you have ever done any electrical wiring in your life? You ever hooked up a couple wires together? How'd you like to wire 137 million connections in 1 square inch? My Heavenly Father did it. He's pretty smart, ain't he? Mm-hmm. What atheist I debated said, Hovind, I got proof for evolution. He said, the eyeball is poorly designed. I said, really? He said, yeah, don't you know the blood vessels are in front of the retina? So the light comes in, has to go through the blood vessels to get to the retina, so you lose part of the vision. You could have had better vision if the blood vessels were behind. That's what the guy told me in the debate. I said, sir, let me explain a couple things to you. We live in the air. Okay, air is a very poor insulator from UV light, and so UV light would destroy your retina, so God put the blood vessels in front to protect you. That's your last defense against ultraviolet light. Now, he thought octopus had a better eye because their blood vessels are behind. I said, well, sir, you see, octopus live in the water. Now, water blocks UV light, so they don't need the blood vessels in front. We're designed for living in the air, and they're designed for living in the water. Now, if you want to swap eyes with an octopus, you just enjoy yourself, but you're going to be blind in a few weeks, okay? What an argument. This textbook says, many important events occurred during the Archean era, the most important of which was the evolution of life. Students are taught that life just came from nothing, came from non-living material. This guy says, Oparin, Urey, and Miller did experiments, and the experiments produced the chemicals of life. This is in a textbook, 2001 edition. This is a lie, folks. They didn't produce the chemicals of life. They made serious problems for the evolution theory is what they did. They excluded oxygen. But if you don't have oxygen, you can't have ozone, and ozone blocks UV light, and UV light destroys ammonia, and that's one of the gases you're using. So if you don't have oxygen, you can't have ammonia, so the whole experiment fell apart. It doesn't work. This one says gills of a fish are an adaptation to living in water. Oh, they adapted to living in water? That's a lie. How did they live for millions of years before they adapted the gills, huh? Oh, well, you see, for millions of years, none of them survived. They all died until they figured it out. Oh, yeah. That's how it works. This textbook says the humans and the orangutans are 96% similar in their DNA. And that proves a common ancestor 15 million years ago. This is silly. Darwin speculated that all forms of life are related. This speculation has been verified by DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, the chromosome. That's a lie, folks. DNA is incredibly complex. The most complex molecule in the universe. It couldn't happen by chance. This guy says, the first bird hatched from a reptilian egg. He said, the reason we don't find any missing links for this evolution is because it happened so quickly, you know, there are no missing links. Now, let me see if I got this straight. What you're saying is, because we have no proof, that proves it. Is that what you're trying to say? That's exactly what they're trying to say. This is silly. This is a lie, folks. The bird didn't hatch from a reptile egg. This textbook tells the students, we're going to learn to think critically. Boys and girls, the fossil record shows an organism evolved through many small changes over time. Which theory best describes the organism's evolution, gradualism or punctuated equilibria? Explain. Well, duh. See, in their mind, there's only two choices. They think evolution happened slowly, like Darwin said, or evolution happened quickly, like Gould said. Punctuated equilibria. They don't seem to be capable of thinking outside the box. It didn't happen at all. It didn't happen. Huh? This guy says evolution is a fact, and we've got evidence for evolution from the fossil record. He said the fossil record provides some of the strongest evidence that species evolved through time. This is stupid. There is no fossil record. There are bones in the dirt. It's not a record, okay? There's a bunch of bones in the dirt. You can't look back in the fossil record. It's not a record. There's a bunch of bones in the dirt. You can put what interpretation you want on them, but that's not a fossil record. You put your interpretation on them, that's all you do. Fossils exist in the present. That's end of story on that. So that's a lie about the fossils proving evolution. This textbook says birds are the descendants of dinosaurs. This is not only a lie, it's stupid. Okay? You don't just put a few feathers on them and say, come on, man, give it a try. It won't hurt too bad. You know? There are millions of differences between reptiles and birds. They say, well, Archaeopteryx is proof of this. We've got a fossil called Archaeopteryx. It's about the size of a crow. It had claws on its wings. They say, that's the missing link. That's a lie. Archaeopteryx is a bird, 100% perching feathered bird. Everybody that studied it knows that. It's not a missing link. Cover lots more on video 4 about that. The kids are taught all the continents used to fit together in Pangaea. How many have ever heard of Pangaea before? They say, us boys and girls, South America and Africa seem to be a perfect fit. Proof, they were all together. It's a lie, folks, okay? They don't tell the kids they shrank Africa nearly 40% to make them fit. They don't tell them they took out all of Mexico and Central America. People say to me, Hovind, do you think the continents were ever connected? I say, what do you mean? They still are. It's just the low places are full of water, you know. It's not like it's hollow under the ocean, you know. They're not floating around, okay? Duh, were they connected? Okay, students are being lied to make them believe this evolution theory. What do we do about it? What has this done for the world? This textbook says you are an animal and share a common heritage with earthworms. Oh, I'm just an animal. What do you expect? We tell them they're an animal, and look what happens. I've asked people this. I've been in 83 debates now at universities against professors who believe in evolution. I got one more next week in Colorado or California, something. I don't know. I'll be there, I hope. But I ask them the question all the time. I say, fellas, if evolution is true, I have a simple question for you. How do you tell right from wrong? How do we tell right from wrong if evolution is true? I had a student in Pennsylvania. I spoke at a public school. The kid sat on the second row. He said, Mr. Hovind, I'm an atheist. He said, there is no God. I said, well, let me ask you a question, son. I said, do you know everything? He said, no. I said, okay, well, do you think maybe you know half of everything? He said, no. I said, well, let's just pretend that you know half of everything. Is it possible that God exists in the other half you don't know? Brand new thought crossed his brain for a while. I said, by the way, son, if you're an atheist, I got a simple question I want to ask you. How do you tell right from wrong? He said, that's easy. He said, I decide what's right or wrong. He said, I'm the God of my own universe. I said, I'm glad to hear about that, son, because I'm going to shoot you in 5 minutes. He said, you can't do that. I said, well, I sure can. I'm the God of my own universe. I decided it's fine for me to shoot you. See, if evolution is true, there is no way to tell right from wrong. Get an evolutionist and sit down and say, now we're going to make a list of topics to discuss. Is abortion right or wrong? Is murder right or wrong? Is cheating in school right or wrong? Is premarital sex right or wrong? Is adultery right or wrong? Pick your subject. Pick your moral issue. Doesn't matter. But before we decide what's right or wrong, I want to know how you decide. How do you decide what's right and wrong? Where's your basis? Do you decide right and wrong based upon what Congress thinks? Is that how we tell right from wrong? Do you decide right and wrong based on what's going on in your head? Well, then Hitler was right. So was Joseph Stalin. Where's the standard? How do you tell right from wrong? Kids today, in the last 50 years in our country, have had that standard yanked away from them. They have no way to tell right from wrong. And it's showing, folks. Teen suicide rate has skyrocketed since 1963, when evolution became popular. Violent crimes have gone up nearly 1,000%. I remember as a kid, you didn't have to lock your house. Anybody remember those days? At Columbine High School, the two kids that did all the shooting there were strong believers in evolution. They shot Isaiah Scholes just because he was black. They shot Rachel and Cassie just because they were Christians. You can study the whole story about the Columbine shooting. It was all motivated by evolution. They did the shooting on Hitler's birthday on purpose. And after the shooting, Rosie O'Donnell got on her program and said, see, we need more gun control. Now, Rosie, those kids broke 18 gun laws going into that school. Two more gun laws would not have slowed them down. Rosie can't figure it out. But one guy figured out the whole thing and put it on the tire cover on his van. I saw that. I said, I got to get this picture. The guy said, blaming guns for Columbine is like blaming spoons for Rosie O'Donnell being fat. It's not the spoon's fault, Rosie. Okay. And it's not the gun's fault either. The number of unmarried couples living together in adultery since 1963, when evolution became popular, has skyrocketed in this country. God's word hasn't changed. Kids having premarital sex has skyrocketed since 1963. After all, there's no standard. How do you tell right from wrong? How do you tell right from wrong if evolution is true? See, the Bible says Satan is a liar. When the devil speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He's a liar and the father of it. Now, I'm sick and tired of paying for their lies to be taught in our textbooks. If they want to believe in evolution, that they came from a rock 4.6 billion years ago, that's perfectly fine. Honestly, I don't care what they believe. You can believe whatever you want. They want to use my tax dollars to teach this to the kids? Ooh, now we got a problem. I was in a debate in, where was I? New Jersey. Princeton. Rutgers University. 2 weeks ago. I debated a guy I debated once before. And he got talking about all the proof for evolution. I said, now come on. What real evidence do you have for evolution? There is none. Nobody's ever seen a dog produce a non-dog. All they have to support their theory are lies. At a debate at University of West Florida, and I said, folks, you ought to tear these lies out of the book. If there's a lie in your textbook, have the school tear it out, okay? This one professor stood up. He said, Hovind, I don't think we should deface textbooks. I said, well, sir, if you were teaching math and you saw a book that said 2 plus 2 is 5, what are you going to do? He said, I tell my kids to mark out the wrong answer and write in the right answer. I said, you would deface a textbook? I said, now, sir, you teach biology, don't you? He said, yes, I do. I said, if you came across a biology book that said the human embryo has gill slits or the whale has a vestigial pelvis or humans have a vestigial tailbone, and you know those things are lies, what are you going to do? He said, well, nothing. I said, you're not going to warn their kids they're wrong? He said, no. I said, you're not going to tell them to cut the page out? He said, no. Sir, you know they're lies, but you're not going to warn the kids. I said, you, sir, are a hypocrite, and the folks in this county ought to help you get a different job picking features or changing tires. But you got no business using our tax dollars to lie to the next generation of kids coming through. Yeah.
This is the end of Side 1. Please turn or reverse your cassette now for the continuation of this message.
Okay. What should we do about it? Scott wrote me this letter. He said, Dr. Hovind, until I went to college, my faith in God was sound. But my college history class helped to destroy that faith. I started to doubt the Bible and God's Word, even started to doubt Jesus was truly God's Son and that He died and rose for my sins. My best friend showed me your tapes, and I was in awe of what I saw. Everything I thought I knew about life was changed. But you know, 75% of kids from Christian homes that go to secular schools reject the Christian faith after 1 year of college. I deal with them by the hundreds. 75%. Karl Marx, founder of communism, wrote a paper when he was 17 years old, his senior year in high school, about how much he loved the Lord and how much he wanted to serve God with his life. He went off to college. First year, a professor got him turned away from God onto this new evolution theory. Andrew Carnegie, multi-gazillionaire of the last century, said he wanted to dedicate his life to serve God. But in college, they destroyed his faith and got him to believing in evolution. And he decided, well, if evolution's true, the strongest survive. Well, I'm just going to be the strongest. And it was ruthless tooth and claw business practices in the 1800s, building the steel and the railroad empires. And you won't understand the history of the last 100 years until you understand how evolution ties into it. Otto von Bismarck believed that the evolution was true and that one race must be superior to the others. And the only way to tell who's stronger is to start a fight. And the Franco-Prussian War was started. Adolf Hitler was a strong believer in evolution. That was his motivating philosophy. He wanted to speed up the process. How do you speed up this process? Well, you find the inferiors and you kill them. He thought the Jews and the blacks and the Orientals were inferior. He was going to kill them. Worked at it pretty hard. It was all motivated by evolution. Here's my solution. You want to solve the problem? I think you need to get your kids out of the public school system if possible. It is not fixable in the short term. Now, I know these parents that say, you ought to send your kids in there. We need the salt and light in the public school. I understand. But I don't think a kid's ready to do that. Some kids are. Most kids aren't. When you figure it destroys 3 out of 4, it's not working, okay? It's not working. I was 16 when I got saved, and I went through public school and public college halfway. It was 2 years. I went off to Christian college. I know the pressure these kids are under. It's horrible. There'll be some teachers that think it's their duty in life to destroy your kids' faith. I get kids call me every week, almost every day, saying, Brother Hovind, what do I do? My teacher says, blah, blah, blah. How can I do this? How can I help? What can I do about this? Kids, I answered 6 letters yesterday on this question from students asking, what do I do? My teacher's making fun of me for being a Christian in class. Folks, if you haven't been in school in the last 15 or 20 years, you don't know what's going on in there. It's really become a war zone. The Bible says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth you to err from the words of knowledge. I'd rather have a kid that was dumb than one that hated God. I don't think the choice is, you know, hate God or be dumb. I think you can homeschool or private school or Christian school and be twice as smart as the kids in public school. But even if they weren't, I'd rather have them be dumb than hate God. But some of you parents are more worried about that kid making money. Got to send him off to an accredited university so he can make a lot of money. Oh, to support you in old age, I suppose. Is that the long-range plan here? Yeah. This map shows how the atheists rate the various states. If your state is yellow, they think you're doing a good job teaching evolution in your state. If your state's green, you're doing a wonderful job teaching evolution. Florida's red. They don't think we're doing a good job teaching evolution. Yay, Florida. You folks that are in them yellow states ought to be ashamed of yourself. Get the lies out of the textbooks. If you can't get your kids out, and some people can't, I understand. Make sure they know the truth so they won't be fooled. You don't send a kid off unarmed to war. Like Karate Kid, you know, give them some training. Teach them the facts. Give them some ammunition to fight with. Give them a sword. Show them how to sharpen it. Show them how to use it. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Florida has a law that requires textbooks to be accurate. So does Texas. Texas says, you've been on there with your brother, instructional material shall be factual. Good law. Wisconsin says textbooks shall be factually accurate. Alabama says textbooks shall be adequate and current. California says textbooks shall be factually accurate. These are good laws, folks. No state enforces them, though. No states. I recommend you not try to get evolution out of the schools. Just get the lies out. I'm not trying to get evolution out. I'm for science, and if the evidence leads to evolution as the logical conclusion, then I'll believe it. But I'm convinced the evidence doesn't lead that way. The evidence leads to there was a creator. There was a designer. Now, here's some practical steps, some things you can do. Number one, you can demand that they cut out the pages with false information. They're going to say, well, we've got to have a fiscal impact study. I can do a fiscal impact study in 3 seconds. If the school decided they were going to cut the pages out with lies on them, how many of you would volunteer to cut the pages out and bring your own scissors? Fiscal impact study finished. Cost zero. Okay. Number two, you can glue the pages together. If you don't want to cut the page out, glue them together if they've got false information on there. Put a warning sticker in the front cover and say, students, the information on page 87 and 209 and 314 is incorrect. Warn them that it's a lie. If you don't want to cut your book up, okay, well, at least put a sticker in there to warn them. I mean, if you had a math book with several errors in the answer key, wouldn't you put a corrections page in the front of the math book? You don't want the kid to learn something wrong so he's confused for the rest of his life about mathematics, do you? Why do they want the kids to learn things that are wrong about biology? Are they just trying to support this one theory? Is that the whole motive? And why would they do that? Well, I think there's a long-range reason for this. We'll get into that in a second. You can give the kids my little brainwashed book. We wrote a book called Are You Being Brainwashed by Your Science Book? One guy bought 1,000 of them, gave them out to every kid in the school in Nebraska. He said, boy, they can't teach evolution for the next 4 years. A guy in Milton, Florida, bought 3,000 of them, gave them out to every kid in the county. Those teachers, just when they come to evolution, they just skip it. Says, I don't want, all I'm going to do is get yelled at by the students. I'm not going to talk about it. One guy called me a couple months ago. He said, Dr. Hovind, my daughter's in second grade. She's watched your videotapes about 40 times. Why do kids do that? You know, same tape over and over and over. He said, my second grade daughter's teacher just called me and said, sir, every time I say something in class about evolution, your daughter stops me and says, that's not right. Teacher said, I've decided I'm going to skip evolution as long as your daughter's in my class. Second grade. My first thought was, yay. My second thought was, why are we sending second graders off to war? This is a battle the parents ought to be fighting. Those lies shouldn't be in the book. The kid ought to be able to go to school, read the book, and believe it. We're the ones that are picking the books, you know. What are we letting this stuff in the textbooks for? There's a book that explains how students can be exempt from anything contrary to their religion. If you have a kid in public school, send them off with a note. Go down to the principal yourself. Write a note that says, I don't want my kid taught evolution. I don't want him taught sex ed. I don't want him taught, you know, whatever you want him out of. And then have the note notarized. And you have to say a magic sentence. You say, it's against my religious convictions. Have it notarized. Give it to the principal. Give it to the teacher. Be sweet. Be kind. Thank you. They will provide alternative material. If they give you a hard time and say, well, we can't do that, then you have another magic sentence. It only takes two. Your second magic sentence is, do you discriminate against people because of their religious beliefs? What's your name, badge number, ID number? Where do you live? I'm going to own that house here in a couple of months. Yeah, I'm serious, folks. Title 42, religious discrimination lawsuit. They know that. Get your kid, if you can't get them out of the school totally, get them out of the propaganda. Teachers need to be taught. They have a perfect right to teach creation in public schools. We can educate public school teachers. Hey, it's okay to talk about creation. My son and I go out speaking all the time. He was in 9 public schools last week. My son was. It's okay to speak on creation, folks. There's not a problem with it. Now, the courts have ruled you cannot require creation be taught. Oh, that's different. Doesn't say you can't teach it. You just can't require it. That's all. See, God is not a man that he should lie. The Bible actually says God cannot lie. And God promised, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, question. If you died today, where would you go? I tell folks, you really ought to think about that because you're going to be dead for a really long time. Folks, listen, if you're not saved, you ought to give your heart to the Lord. If you are saved, you ought to find something to do. Okay, there's a war going on out there. There's thousands of kids within 20 miles of where you live. They're having their faith destroyed while they're doing their homework today. Am I right? And some of you are more worried about who wins the Stupid Bowl than whether your kids go to heaven or hell. You really are. You're more worried about knocking that ball into the hole in the dirt than what the kids are learning. I mean, that you're more excited about knocking a ball in a hole in the dirt. Hello? There's a war going on, you know. We get worried about the dumbest things. What's important to you anyway? What eats at you? What do you wake up at night thinking about? Is it more money? Money won't satisfy. The people that have $1 million, do you know what they want? More. People that have 80 pairs of shoes in their closet, you know what they want? More shoes. Arnold Schwarzenegger, what did he say, 150 suits, you know? Guess what he wants? More. It doesn't work, folks. Things in this world don't satisfy. You want to do something that satisfies with your life? Find somebody you can influence for God. Thank you so much. See you next time.
To receive a free catalog of all of our Bible teaching books and tapes, information on upcoming Bible conferences in your area, or details of our missionary outreach, call 800-977-2177 24 hours a day or on the web at compass.org.